Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
National Fingers Day.
No.
Okay.
Try again.
National Name Your Son Billy Day.
No.
Close. National BJ Day.
National Ebony and Ivory Day.
You're actually closer, Steve. No. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you. In the room, we got Steve Silva.
We do.
We got producer Zach.
There is a National BJ Day. Just so you know.
And I'm Sean Roberts, and together we are Your Weekly Dose Project.
Be sure to get me the date on that, Zach.
Wait, did you say your Weekly Dose Project?
Oh, I was going to say project, yeah, podcast.
Hey, thank you all for joining us today. We're streaming live from right here in Orange County, California. It's kind of a blustery day, a few clouds. That's okay. We're the only podcast that continues the radio traditions of Mark and Brian. If you miss them as much as we do, then you tuned in to the right show.
But if you're also looking for a podcast that's fun, interactive, that you can participate with every week, kind of like getting together with your friends at a bar, then this is also the podcast for you.
Now, those of you who have recently found us, thank you so much. I know we have listeners, new listeners on the East Coast, in the Midwest, Delmarva, and Lime City.
Lime City, yep, yeah. Up in Indiana.
Indiana, that's right. That's great for that. So, anyway, all of you could be involved with the show. We'll give you some more information about that later.
Absolutely. We kind of got a decent show for you guys today. We'll be catching up with each other. We got some fun warning signs that we found. We got a bunch of topics we're going to discuss. And then later on, we got a pocket-sized cinema and what's news.
Now, remember, you can interact with the show several ways. You can comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose. Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And, of course, you can always download the show for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think about this show. Please rate and review it.
The whole world?
The whole world. Tell the whole world. We want to know. So, and of course, today's theme song is Piano Man by the great Billy Joel in honor of National Buy a Musical Instrument Day.
God, that was my next guess.
Yeah, I told you were that close. You were very, very close.
It.
Yeah. So, and of course, as always, make sure you go to our website and use our banner to get all the music that we play here on our show. It's very important that you do that because it helps support the artist, helps support us as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite Billy Joel song?
This one.
This one?
Yeah.
I've got so many, but there's one that stands out to me, and it has to do with our friend Gino, because Gino introduced the song to me. Zach, while this one's playing, can you please look up on YouTube? You're My Home by Billy Joel. That song is just so cool. Crank this one though in the meantime.
It's a pretty good crowd for a Saturday.
You know, my son Roman has been learning piano, and he can do this song a little bit. Somebody got, I'm like, dude, you got to finish it and be the piano man.
It's easy to learn because it's really not a big variation.
Right.
But getting the feel and the
feel, the 6/8 time
style,
and then and then also the intro.
Yeah.
Is that so jazzy?
It takes a while.
Yeah, that's the part that really, really takes a while.
Speaking of taking a while, YouTube's apparently asleep and trying to wake him up.
I'll be darned.
He's dreaming of Bob.
Okay, well, crank this song anyway. It's a great song. Sing us a song, you're a piano man. Sing us love it. Our friend Christian James Hand actually broke this song down.
Oh, wow.
So if you ever get a chance,
cool,
go to the sessions and listen to that. Oh, this is a great song.
When you look into my eyes and you see the crazy gypsy in my soul, it always comes as a surprise when I feel my withered roots begin to grow. Well, I never had a place that I could
call my very own. He's got less hair than that now.
But that's all right, my love, 'cause you're my home.
Love this song. Such a great song.
When you touch my weary head and you tell me everything will be all right, you say, use my body for your bed, and my love will keep you warm throughout the night. Well, I'll never be a stranger, and I'll never be alone. Forever we're together,
you're my home. Great song. Oh, gotta love it. Gotta love it. Anyway, once again, guys, any of the music that we play here, make sure you definitely go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it, and then do your musical shopping to your heart's desire. And, pick up some of these songs and pick up the essential Billy Joel. There's just so many good songs that he's done over the years. And but this one, I think, was one of those hidden gems early on, one of those early albums and everything. And Gino introduced it to me, and I just fell in love with this song.
That's a huge bitch.
It is. It is. So, all right. Should we catch up? I guess so.
Oh, did you want to guess before I pressed it?
La 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 la. La la. La la. La 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 la.
Uh-oh. Well, let's start off with producer Zach. Zach, how was your week, bud?
I'm having anxiety.
Uh-oh.
I'm supposed to fly up on the KFI in the sky plane pretty soon. I'm supposed to do it by myself. And that's terrifying.
I mean, you're flying the plane too by yourself? Or?
No, I'm not flying the plane by myself.
Oh, I was going to say, I'd be terrified too if you were flying the plane.
That's what's funny. Everybody assumes that when I say that I'm going up in the plane to do the traffic, they're like, oh, so you're flying the plane?
I think it's the word myself.
Yeah.
But I'm like, when did I announce that I got a pilot license?
Well, that's what we were wondering too.
Well, no, it's, I don't know. I'm having tremendous anxiety over it. Like, I laid in bed for like 2 hours last night thinking about it. I'm going, oh my. I mean, I might as well be going up by myself. I'm going to feel like it. I'm going to feel naked. He's got the pilot of me, and I'm sitting in the back seat.
But you've gone up a couple of times, though, recently. And
I've gone a total of 3.
Okay.
I mean,
it's 3 more than you had.
Yeah. No, that's 3 more than me. That's for damn sure.
I don't know why. It's just, I don't know why it's eating at me.
Well, each time, were you with your mentor there, or?
Well, yeah, of course. Jeff Bogg, who's KFI in the sky, you know, he's always with me. But it's just that the fact that I'm going to be sitting in his seat by myself. I think what it also is, too, is that it literally does feel like you're by yourself when it's just you and the pilot in there, because you're sitting in the back seat and you got all the equipment with you.
Right.
Anything could go wrong. And I didn't think I had a phobia of heights, but it turns out after doing this, I do. So it's bad enough.
You're way up there, buddy.
So I'm way the hell up there, and it's bad enough that I'm looking down trying to see everything, and I'm already struggling with the fear of heights.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking down. They say don't look down. I'm supposed to look down.
You have to look down.
Yeah, and
you'll be fine.
I mean, it's only for
don't look down.
It's only for like 3 hours.
Oh, it's not too bad.
No.
Wait, where are you flying out of, though?
Van Nuys. And I gotta drive to Van Nuys from Yorba Linda. And I don't think I have to explain that. That's, you know, for those of you listening, that's pretty far drive.
Yeah.
That's like driving from, you know, maybe upstate New York or lower like Newburgh into the city, mm-hmm. not taking a train. You're driving all the way there.
Yeah.
And then going up and flying around the city, and you got millions of people listening.
That's too bad that they can't pick you up at John Wayne or even at Fullerton Airport.
They tried. It's because of the weather. It's California weather. It's you know, the visibility. If it's really bad, they can't land. They can't.
Early. Yeah.
No, they just can't. It's too many. You get too many cooks in the kitchen trying to do too many things.
Right.
So.
Well, I'm sure you'll do fine though. I mean, you've done fine before.
Yeah, on the upside, school's over.
Yeah, which is good. So
I'm done there. I'm supposed to graduate this summer. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know. What am I supposed to? I mean, we're not going to be doing anything in person. So mm-hmm. they just give you the stupid diploma in the mail like a lame-o?
They might. You never know.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Off your fucking phone.
Whoever that was.
I don't know.
I knew both off.
Oh, you told me you turned it off.
I did turn it off.
Mm-mm.
Da, 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 da.
Looks like I caught you.
This is not me.
Shut up! Oh, whoops. That was supposed to be saying him shut up. Yeah. My phone stuff doesn't work.
Well, how was your week, Steve?
Oh, it was pretty dang good.
What'd you do?
I tell you, I didn't do a lot of stuff, but I did watch the Lakers get into the playoffs by having LeBron James
hit
a three-pointer with less than a minute left, and that was the difference in the game. It was tied at 100, and he got that shot over Curry as well.
Do you think we'll have a back-to-back on this?
Or? I do, because they just got back together, and they really should not have won Wednesday night.
Why not?
Because Curry is so good and the people around him are so good, but the Lakers, they started the game out, you know, like
dominated.
They were going to lose.
Oh, wow.
And then they decided we got to get in here and fight, and they got in and they just played hard. And they came back and were able to pull it out in overtime.
That's good. They were able to come back and dominate, which was great.
Yeah. So, and then, sadly, I guess, the Warriors lost last night to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Aww.
So, actually, the MVP of the league, it's pretty much foregone conclusion for this year, is now out of the playoffs.
Oh, bummer.
So, that's the way it goes, you know. I guess through the year, the team had a lot of adversary, and it was sort of weird that they got as far as they did. And they actually were gelling and playing well in this last
I was wondering if they were going to make it or not, because, I mean, it didn't seem like they were going to make the playoffs.
Well, they finished up winning, I think it was 6 in a row, and then the Lakers beat them in the 7-8 game. So.
Got it.
So Lakers are a 7 seed, and they're facing the Phoenix Suns.
How do you think they're going to come out on top again? Or
it's the first time in over 30 years that a 7th seed is predicted to win over a 2 seed.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What does that mean? 2 seed, 3 seed?
That at the end of the season, they take the top 8 teams in the ABA and then
ABA. That's ABBA. Come on, Fernando.
There's two divisions, and each division takes their top 8 teams. And each division has like three conferences or...
Don't worry. I really don't know this stuff, so it's okay you're explaining this. I really don't. I'm not a sports person, so I need explaining.
They take the top 8, and they rank them in order of their finishing schedule, many they won and stuff. So there's the number 1 team, and then the 8 is the last team. So 1 plays 8, 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6, and 4 plays 5.
But they call it a seed, right?
Yeah, and each of the rankings... And the number is called the seed. That's you seeding the tournament.
Interesting.
Like planting the tournament.
There's like major sports fans that are like kicking their heads going like, we know this already. And then there's other people laughing going like, why doesn't the kid playing Space Jam know this?
And then there's the other part where people are going, these guys are idiots.
Yes.
Yeah. All except, you're right.
Right. Thanks.
It's okay.
Well, that's good. At least you got to watch the Lakers and come back, make a comeback and everything. So.
Yeah, baby. It
was good. Mm-hmm. Well, my week was kind of different and interesting.
Before we go anywhere.
Yeah.
Does it involve choo-choos?
Yes, one part does.
Okay, give me a second. Go ahead and talk.
No, no. It's gonna go. It's gonna go real quick though. But I completed my.
You laid the last piece of track.
The last piece of track. It's already all connected.
Did you drive in the golden spike?
I did. Actually, it was golden glue.
Did you have the two engines lined up facing each other? Where the tracks go like this?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's like he was there.
Have you seen that cartoon?
Yes, I have.
Love that.
Yeah. But no, actually, I finished my layout as far as laying the track down. It's all connected. So I just now have to clean up some areas and do a couple of test runs, make sure that the electricity is going all the way through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then now start working on the trees and the hills and everything. And
the hills and the trees. I talked to the trees.
Do they have eyes? Yeah.
And all those wonderful things. So got that done this week. And then Tuesday I went out to an open mic, which was some fun there. Backed up a friend of mine. And let's see, then what else did I do? Oh, and then I'm trying to, you know, I've been talking about joining this band or trying to join that band or whatever, and it's just been a little bit hectic, and I guess I haven't seen, like, this one band felt they wanted to stay a four-piece instead of going to a five-piece. So I'm like, okay, so out of frustration, whatever, I said, well, maybe I should do something myself. So I put an ad out. And got some people who were, you know, saying, hey, okay, you know, your project seems interesting and everything. One of the people, though, turns out to be an acquaintance of mine. And he's a drummer, fantastic drummer, Jason Hawks. And he can do that
nice.
Numerous times. Great singer, great producer. He was working at the ranch over in Anaheim, or the country bar. You haven't seen it?
I don't know that one.
Oh, dude, it is nice.
Quarters?
It's on Lincoln.
It's on Lincoln?
Yeah, on the backside. I can't remember the cross street. But it's this restaurant. It's a steakhouse restaurant.
And then, the ranch?
The ranch, yeah. And then on the other side, it is this huge, massive bar with this big-ass stage and everything. And Jason was part of the house band there for a number of years and everything. He's also toured with the Nelson Brothers, who are friends of ours.
Yeah.
Really, really nice guy. So anyway, it turned out he actually applied for the ad that I put out, and of all the people and everything. So we're keeping in touch and see if we can push this new project forward. So I'm kind of excited because I haven't worked with Jason. I've jammed with him a few times, but haven't really worked with him. And just a phenomenal drummer, though. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you could, I'm not saying you hadn't thought about it, I'm sure you have, would you start a new band all over again like you did with your previous one, which I don't know how long ago that was?
As far as an original project, no, I wouldn't now. Not the age I'm at right now.
Why not?
Basically, you know, when you come into the industry, I mean, your main goal is to get signed to a big label. So when a label looks at you, they look at you as a commodity. So basically, you're equivalent to frozen concentrated orange juice. You're a commodity. And the thing is that the label has to try and sell you against all the other orange juices that are out there. And hopefully, you know, your orange juice tastes the best and, you know, you gain a really good following, basically. So when you're young, you know, they look at, okay, what's the potential, you know, career that you might have? And if it's an average, I mean, you're probably looking at maybe about between 5 to 10 years, maybe. But if you become a superstar status kind of thing, where you're very, very fortunate, like, let's say, a Bon Jovi, then it's almost become, you know, endless at that point. And no matter what, you're always going to have those fans that are going to follow you, you know, for the next 30, 40, maybe 50 years. I mean, look at the Rolling Stones. They're still out playing. So, but somebody getting into original music at my age, no record label is going to look at me and say, oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, we can get you for the next, oh, I don't know, 15 minutes.
Well, the reason why I ask, and this will be the next question, sure. If you had a dream team, if you had your own dream team for a band, mm-hmm. who would you pick as, like, your star lineup? And you can pick whatever instrument you want to be in.
And we're talking like celebrity wise,
or talking like musician wise,
musician
as they exist now, or anybody that's lived.
Well, I was gonna say, because if it's celebrity wise, that would be different than people that I know.
Let's do celebrity wise.
Celebrity wise,
your favorites.
Oh gosh,
it doesn't matter if they're dead or alive.
I would probably have Greg Bissonette as my drummer.
Okay, and he is
a phenomenal drummer.
Okay.
He also drummed when David Lee Roth first went solo. That was his drummer.
Okay, got it.
So I would probably pick him.
Cool.
Really nice guy too. I would definitely have Sambora as my guitar player.
That's because you got a crush on.
I do. I got a man crush on Sambora. For a bassist, gosh. I think it would. God, that's a tough one.
I'll pick one for you if you don't have one.
No, I'd probably pick Jerry Dixon from Warrant, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice.
Jerry is actually a really good bassist. He knows how to throw down a really good medley, line down overall.
You know what I was going to pick?
Who?
Flea.
I love Flea because of what he does and everything. I mean, I was almost thinking even Billy Sheehan. Billy Sheehan from Mr. Big, because he's a phenomenal player as well. But I think somebody a little bit closer to my age, I'd definitely pick Jerry Dixon. And then as far as, let's say, a keyboard player.
Oh, I didn't even think about keyboard.
Gosh.
I don't know his name, but the keyboard player for Yes.
No, I'd probably go with. Oh man, that's actually a tough one. Because I mean, I could go. Let's say, I could go like an Elton John.
You could. You go for Billy Joel.
I could go for Billy Joel. You know.
You go for the keyboard player for Van Halen.
Yeah. You know, I'd probably go with somebody that some people don't know, and this is another member of Warrant, which is is it Danny Wilde? I think is his name, because he is a multi instrumentalist.
Oh, cool!
So he can play drums, he can play guitar, he can play keyboard, and he plays them all extremely well.
Well, the reason why I bring this up, because I follow a lot of I love 80s metal, hair metal, like one of my favorites.
I'm sorry. And then for a horn section, horn section, Tower Power of Horns.
Holy crap!
Yeah, that's a band.
I'm thinking like a punk rock garage band. Sean's got a whole orchestra going.
Oh, absolutely, man! I want to do it because if you have those people there, we can do anything.
Well, so the reason why I bring this up is because there is a new power band that is emerged, and it consists of Rob Zombie, Nikki Sixx. I think his name's like John 5 or John C.
John 5.
John 5.
Yeah.
I think he's Rob Zombie's drummer?
John 5 is a guitar player.
No, then he's the one that's in Black Sabbath, I think. Because another one's from Black Sabbath. Anyway, the point is, I want your guys' opinion.
Oh, okay.
They put this out actually yesterday morning.
Really?
So this is their version. This is LA Rats cover of Johnny Cash, I've Been Everywhere.
I'll be darned.
I was told in my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high end canvas.
And who's singing?
Rob Zombie.
If you're gonna win a mucka mac with me, you can ride.
Just
so
hang with
I
it.
Yeah. To the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said,
"You can tell it's six is bass playing."
I've traveled every road in this here land.
I like it.
It's got that Nikki Sixx sloppy bass. It almost sounds like a Motley Crue song. Steve, what do you think?
Sounds grungy.
It's a good mixture of the two, though.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I was listening to it downstairs for the very first time. I was like, I gotta share this. This is actually pretty cool.
I'm in Boston, Charleston, Dayton,
Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kings, and Texas. I want to be in like a wooden, dirty roadhouse bar right now and get in a fight with, you know, a biker or two.
There you go.
That's what I want to do right now. Well, this is just blasting. And I got Tom Cruise pouring me shots.
Okay, see if you can find this one. And this is like another super group kind of thing.
All right.
What we got?
Look up a band by the name of Contraband.
Contraband?
Yeah. And then look up a song All the Way from Memphis.
Got it.
Okay. So this band, again, it's one of those that it's, you know, a bunch of famous people getting together. It is...
I think I've heard this before.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out the members of the band, though.
We'll be right back, folks.
Oh, now, here we go. Michael Schenker.
Okay.
Tracy Guns.
Okay.
Let's see. Look at Wikipedia here real quick. Bobby Blotzer from Rat, who's the drummer from Rat. And Cher Persidon from,
Okay.
from Vixen.
Okay, so Rat, LA Guns, Vixen.
And,
1993.
Michael Schenker Group, MSG. Wow. And they got together and did this album, and it's a really cool album. You know.
I need a skateboard.
Now, another one that was really surprising that did well, look up, let's see. Look up Damn Yankees. Like either High Enough or...
Hey man, you play that thing? Second? I felt so ashamed. Yeah, it's a mighty long way down rock and roll. Oh, I made a mistake.
No more. Right.
Work. There we go.
So this group was pretty much a true super group also. You got Jack Blades from Night Ranger, Tommy Shaw from Styx, Ted Nugent, and then an unknown drummer named Michael Colleone.
I know him. Yeah, he was the Godfather's son.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And now he's the drummer for, and since the band broke up, Michael's been the drummer for Leonard Skinner.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was like...
What's left of them?
Number one hit for them. But crank it and listen to the harmonies on this thing. I just made one mistake. I didn't know what to say when you called me baby. Don't say goodnight. Say you're gonna stay forever. Oh, oh, all the way. Can you take me high enough?
I've heard this before.
Yeah. They only put out two albums. There was supposed to be a third, but the third album got shelved because they were just unhappy with the producer and everything. And see that picture up there of me and Tommy Shaw?
Yeah.
Tommy almost told me who the producer was in that conversation.
Wow.
I'm just like, I'm like, because I asked him, like, okay, well, who fucked it up? You know, just tell me who fucked it up. And he goes, well, it was, I can't say.
Can you do that sound again? It sounded like Arnold.
Maybe it is a tumor. It's not a tumor.
So. You guys sound like the cartoon versions of them.
Thank you. We try. So, but yeah, but super groups have been around for a long time because I think, you know, you even had, was it Bad Company?
Bad Company.
Because you had, what was it, Paul Rogers and Simon Phillips from, not, I was going to say Cream. From Free.
Say it.
No, he's not from Cream. But from Free.
But you still say it.
So I could, but I'd be lying. I don't want to lie
Johnny,
to people.
There was a Johnny. It was a Johnny Depp, Marilyn Manson, Alice Cooper. That did a little thing for a while, and I forget. I can't remember.
Hollywood Vampires?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you know, now, do you know the whole story behind the Hollywood Vampires?
No, but I have a feeling you're going to tell me.
Would you want to know?
Steve, would you like to know?
How long is this one?
About as long as your story, Steve.
Well, then go right ahead.
Well, actually,
let's hear it.
Okay. The Hollywood Vampires actually go back to the late 1960s. It started off as a softball team that included John Lennon, Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, Alice Cooper, and Harry Nilsson.
Oh.
Yeah. And it started off being that. And then it turned from going from a softball thing to a drinking thing, because as soon as they were done playing softball, they would all head over to the Rainbow.
That's why you play softball.
And go upstairs. Exactly. And then go upstairs and have a few drinks or whatever. So there have been some members who have kind of come and gone. And so when Alice Cooper kind of started this other thing with Johnny Depp and everybody else, whatever, he kind of kept that tradition going of the Hollywood Vampires. And that's what they were called.
That wasn't too bad.
Told you.
There you go.
But who would have thought that Mickey Dolenz and Alice Cooper would be hanging out together, though? I mean, that's an odd pairing right there.
I made a mistake. I said Marilyn Manson. It was Alice Cooper, Johnny Depp, and Joe Perry.
Oh, Joe Perry. Okay.
This is it right here.
Crank it. Let the music swell.
Coming at you, 95.5 KLOS. KLOS HD, Los Angeles. Zach taking here with Sean Roberts and Steve Silva, who Steve Silva sounds like a ghost because he's not really here. The puppet's more lively.
You know what I've been listening to this past week, though, in all seriousness also?
What's up?
Our dear friend, Mark Thompson.
He's so dear.
He is. He still does it every once in a while on his podcast with his wife, Linda. But he did a segment called Cool Stories in Music. And it's kind of like these hour-long behind the scenes of these different artists. And he kind of goes through the career of them, or some, maybe something special about that artist. And Mark mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that it's on the archives. So just like you can jump on and find the Mark and Brian archives, you can type in, you can go to archive.com, type in Cool Stories in Music, and find it there. In all, I think 23 or 33 episodes are there. Dude, he did a phenomenal job. I've been binge listening to these episodes.
Binge listening.
Oh my God. He covered everybody from Hall & Oates to Elvis's album, Elvis in Memphis. He's done Lionel Richie.
Talked about Elvis? You're kidding.
Yeah, I know. He talked about Rob Thompson? No, Rob Thomas.
Who's
Rob Thomas?
Thompson.
From, yeah, I know. Rob Thomas.
Matchbox
from
40.
Matchbox 20.
Or 20.
Yeah. Good job on the number. God, who else did he do? He did the Bee Gees. Was really good. He just did a wide selection of them. I mean, each episode was really, really good. One of my favorites was the bubblegum music era kind of thing, and where bubblegum music kind of came from and everything.
What could be defined as a bubblegum music band?
Like
Wham?
No. It's very, it's pop-ish type of music, but where, God, Mark described it too on exactly what it is. But it's a certain genre that uses certain instruments in it also. So a really good example of bubblegum would be the Archie Sugar Sugar.
Sugar.
You don't know the song?
The one that Steve's doing right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I do know that song.
Okay, so that would be considered bubblegum music.
It sounds like a one-hit wonders genre.
So, and he covered a really good job of where it came from and what DJs consider the first bubblegum music and where it originated from, and then how it's just transpired through the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
They're just phenomenal episodes. So plug for Mark also. If you get a chance to find that, go to archives.org and look up cool stories and music. Great, great stuff. And Mark did a fabulous job of producing stuff on his own. So.
And that is a cool story, bro.
It is. It is. So, anyway, you know what? Came across this the other day, and Steve and I, we have to share these because these are just too damn good, which is some funny warning signs.
My power band right here, Colgate Total. I was going to name myself after a toothpaste.
No trespassing. We are tired of hiding the bodies.
I like that one. Do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on zoo fences. If you fall, animals could eat you. And that might make them sick.
At least give them diarrhea.
Give them something. Yeah. Indigestion.
Please.
You dick.
It's going to be one of those shows, folks.
I love that. Please do not enter the dangerous area beyond this gate. You quite possibly will get hurt. Then you will sue. Then a protracted court battle will ensue, exhausting your financial resources, and you will lose because this sign that warned you will be Exhibit 1.
To a person named Sue.
I like this one. Beware of falling deer. Leopards, yeah, leopards conceal their unfinished food in the tops of trees. Can you imagine just walking down or whatever, you see a head of a deer or a leg of a deer just come off and just...
Do you guys remember the first, or the movie Arthur of Dudley Moore?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why he's thinking of this. When he's visiting his fiance's dad or father to get ask for a hand in marriage, and he's standing there, he's just looking at the top of a moose head.
Oh.
And he just keeps staring at it. He goes, what's the best of this moose? He goes, like, don't worry about the moose. I'm not shocked. I'm just staring at it.
About the moose. I'm not shocked. Man.
Then the guy goes, why don't you forget about the moose? And he just stares at it.
Did you awkwardly. Like, did you like the remake of it, though?
God, no. It was terrible. It was so awful. I grew up with Dudley Moore.
Yeah.
I know it's that strange being my age, because I know it's kind of, you know, slim pickings when it comes to me, but I loved Dudley Moore. That was actually one of the first British voices I learned how to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I can't really make much of a judgment call, because I've had a bit too much to drink, and I can't stop staring at the moose.
I think one of my favorite scenes is when he's at the party.
So that arrows that
and
down.
And he's playing the piano.
You better watch out.
Exactly.
You better not cry.
My favorite thing is when Gielgud comes over to her apartment where her and her dad lives, and he's bringing like a dress or something for them to go out. Anyway,
before
the
that
dad
party.
Opens the door, and Gil goes, if you and your undershirt
would take three steps back, I can enter this establishment.
No. That's a good one. Yeah, the remake I was kind of on. Yes.
Dudley Moore, he died a very very painful death.
Yeah.
He had a really rare brain disease.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Really sad. All right.
Living on.
Take the next one.
This is why I was laughing earlier, because I read it. Are you ready?
I don't know.
Unattended children will be given an energy drink and taught to swear. I love that, man.
Zoo rules. Those who throw objects at the crocodiles and snakes will be asked to retrieve them.
I've seen that happen. That's true. It's not a pretty
What
sight.
Was that?
You have it on here as squirrel.
Oh, my God.
I can honestly, God, I thought it was going to go squirrel.
Crank it so we can hear him, though.
Yeah, here. It's like, that's how I think of Amber. Amber, if Amber was an animal... Nope, never mind.
I think we used that for a skit is what it was.
It just says squirrel. I just thought it was funny.
Parking for Soup Shack garage guests only. Violators will die eventually.
Danger. Do not touch. Not only will this kill you, it will hurt the whole time you are dying.
Attention. trespassers will be baptized. Frequent trespassers will be sent away on mission.
Hey, that's something almost up your alley.
Yeah, right up my alley. Oh, yeah.
Well, your family's from Utah.
Yes, they are.
Attention. If you become lost or confused in the corn maze, stay calm. Don't panic. Help is on its way. Every Thursday morning, we send a rescue team into the maze to bring out everyone left from the previous weekend. They are highly trained and can usually locate over two-thirds of those left behind. That's pretty good, though. At least you know going in.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge.
There's that chant.
Yeah.
Warning! To avoid injury, don't tell me how to do my job!
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
I love that. I just love that. This ride only stops in emergency. Crying is not an emergency.
Here's truth in advertising. Suicidal deer next 2 miles.
Oh, because of the sign in the
dick.
I had some friends of mine. They're on a trip. They were going up to Idaho. And I don't know where else they're going to. But they're not having a whole lot of luck on their trip right now.
Oh, really?
They hit a deer.
Oh, no. Those suckers can have a lot of weight to them.
The whole front end is bashed. They lost, like, the grill. And then something else happened to the car. I forgot what it was, whatever. And they posted, okay, we're finally in our hotel room, kind of a thing.
Where are they?
Somewhere in Idaho or Montana right now on a trip. And it's
avoid Idaho.
Yeah. Avoid vacation, period. Jeez. Oh.
Okay.
This is my hand. Oh. Okay. No climbing. Alligators love kids, but they are hard to digest, so please do not climb on the barriers or walls.
That they're hard to digest. All right. Wild Animal Reserve. Trespassers will be eaten. Survivors will be prosecuted.
You guys have way too many of the animal ones. Like, how many, like, is there one for every state or county?
No, I think, well, they're just
no, there probably is
from around the world.
If you really, really want to dissect it,
so there you go.
Might be in there.
So there's some funny warning signs.
Next, we'll do dog puns. One dog pun for every major city in the country.
We could talk through every segment music.
Yeah. All right. Well, of course, things are starting to open up. And yeah, that too. And I think, was it June 15th is they're talking about, where the whole state is really kind of,
supposedly,
yeah, okay,
we're gonna have one big party.
It'll be, well, be hilarious if it was off by one day.
Well, check this out though, this is kind of cool. I found these articles. Attending concerts can increase your lifespan. So as long as you know, we're all healthy here. The study was headed by behavioral scientist Patrick Fagan at Goldsmiths University. The researchers found that if a person attends a concert or gig, as they call it, once every 2 weeks, that it only takes around 20 minutes for the event to increase their well-being by a whopping 21%.
Every two weeks?
Yeah.
Hmm. I guess it depends on the concert. You couldn't do that with punk rock concerts because you'd be coming home hurt.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, well, take it from me. I came home with a lot of bruises.
Well, they say that, well, that's a little bit different. If you're going to be in a mosh pit, hello.
Well, that's what I meant.
They say this is a significantly larger number than doing yoga or walking your dog, which are cited at 10% and 7% respectively. It wasn't as impressive number. Here's the deal. Regularly attending concerts can increase your lifespan by a staggering 9 years.
9 years.
Steve, want to go to a Slayer show?
I'm in.
Can you imagine me, Steve, and Steve Puppet at a Slayer show? Now that would be fun.
I can see Steve Puppet, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
So, but there you go. I mean, it's going to concerts regularly makes you happier. That was the other study.
Cheers me up.
It's yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of be with the same crowd of people that are there for the same reasons.
I mean, who goes to a concert for the sole purpose of saying, "God, I hate my life. I'm so glad I came to this."
Or they go to be judgmental.
Yeah.
The rock snobs or whatever. Well, let's see how good a guitar player he is.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
There's only one thing you should be bitching about at a concert, and we all know what that is. The price of paying for food and everything. Just like every theme park. That's the only thing you should be complaining about.
What was it?
$12 for a tall can.
The last thing I think we went to before the pandemic was we went to go see these guys called Dude Perfect.
That's a cool name, actually.
They're a YouTube channel, and it's these guys in Texas, and they do like these trick shots and stuff and these odd things and everything. Anyway, they were at the Forum.
Uh-huh.
$25 for parking. Just for parking alone. I'm like, are you shitting me?
This is just for them? There was no big names attached?
No, it was just them.
Oh, that's a bunch of B.
You know, and I mean, I can understand, you know, paying, let's say, you know, $40, $50 for tickets or whatever. That's fine. Yeah. But $25 just for the parking alone?
Let's do the math here. So that means it's less than $100 to see a band that does not have a bigger headliner than them.
Well, they weren't a band. They're these YouTube guys.
Okay, but you said it was like a concert, so you're going to see them,
right? Well,
it's
a concert, yeah, but it's an event, and they sold it out. But the thing is they do like trick shots and stuff and everything.
Trick
shots?
Oh,
those guys that throw like the basketball off of the bridge and make it.
Yeah.
They keep shooting and doing it. I've seen films about that and watched them make one of those videos. Yeah. It's really interesting.
Is there anything else going on at this thing? Is there like food? Is there drinks? I'm afraid to ask how much that costs, if there is.
Well, and that was just it. We had to buy food too and everything, you know. But I mean, just for parking alone, $25. I mean, I'm
shame on them.
I'm bitching at what Disney's at now at what $20 for parking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, come on, guys.
But at least you get rides and thrill
factors.
You
still
got
to pay $200 now to get in.
Well, yeah, now I'm still holding on to the good old days.
If
you can get in, I'm still holding on to the good old days when it was $50 a ticket.
Yeah, I remember it was $20 for Southern California residents.
Oh, that's right. Never had a pass though. How much are the passes now?
There's different ones, different levels. And
$5,000.
Right now, I don't even know.
$5,000 a year.
I don't know that they're doing any passes yet,
or how they're holding or dealing with the annual pass holders too.
Yeah. Well, all the annual pass holders were sent packing.
Oh wow.
Whew.
So they canceled them all, gave refunds to those that deserved it, and then they're starting over.
That sucks.
Yeah. But.
That's a reason to bitch, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know how long or at what levels, and there's no way they can have annual pass holders showing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They can't even let everybody who's trying to get in. It's just they didn't want to deal with it anymore, so they stopped it, and I don't know when they're going to actually.
Wow.
They might already have something.
Well, I'll tell you this. So when it was under $500, it was definitely worth it.
Oh, yeah. I've had it you know, a number of years.
It was definitely worth it. Worth it. So either way, attend concerts, though, as the country and as the state opens up, you know, or check your local cities, too, in Indiana and back east, you know, attending concerts. You want to live 9 years longer? Start going to concerts.
My mom was supposed to see Motley Crue with Def Leppard and Poison.
Oh, I was supposed to go to that too.
Yeah. Did you hear they pushed it back to next year?
Yep.
My mom like nearly threw a plate against the wall. She was so mad because she's been wanting to see this show for so long. Mm-hmm. And I just realized I didn't even get invited to that. What the hell?
Yeah, my sister invited me to that.
What show
was
that? Invites me to anything.
Huh?
What are you talking about? What
Motley
show?
Crue with Def Leppard and Poison and Joan Jett.
That'd be a good concert.
Yeah.
That's why everyone.
So my sister Michelle, basically, and her two kids, that she works up with Gallo Wines. So she got a pair of tickets. She's going, okay, who am I going to take? And she goes, duh, I could take my brother. Good Lord, you know, he knows all these bands. So,
and if he drops out, I can take his producer. Everyone wins.
And if you dropped out, I'd try to find someone.
Yeah, and she had four seats too.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
She's cute, too.
Yes,
you know,
she
I
is.
Just realized, I believe that article now. That article is absolutely 100% correct.
Absolutely.
When I went and saw Slipknot, And I wasn't backstage with the band, but we had the VIP section behind the stage and all that. I got to see Clown. I got to see Jay Weinberg from Far Away. That was good enough for me, and that was one of the best concerts of my life. So, yeah, you know what? I agree with that article. It does improve your life.
Well, you know, when your mom and I, we went to go see Enough's Enough.
Oh, that's right. You guys did do that.
Yeah. You know, Chip came out to the balcony and hung out with us for a while.
That's a blast. You know, that's so much fun.
So I introduced your mom to Chip and everything, so.
I've gotten to meet Dexter from The Offspring. I've gotten to meet AJ, who's a singer for Lit.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager.
AJ Popoff.
AJ Popoff. What's his last name?
Popoff. Yeah.
That's a great last name.
And Jeremy Popoff.
Yeah. And I got to meet them. I was like 13. That's what lit the fire under my ass when it came to like going to concerts and music and punk rock stuff and tattoos and that stuff.
There's a story about Lit I have to tell you off the air, though.
I think you did tell me a story about Lit a while ago. But yeah, tell me another time.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you off the air.
Who's next?
Steve.
I met Tony Dow once.
The older brother on Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, Beaver.
Well, he walked by me, I guess.
Oh, okay. Hey, okay. But you still got to do a film with Fred Willard, though.
He did.
I wish I could now. But I did do that. I mean, I wish I could still, you know.
Remember it?
See him. No, yeah, it was a lot of, God, it was a fun movie. That's why we won the Academy Award.
Right.
It was just.
I am not.
So off the wall, yet it was done very realistically. It was very serious comedy. You know, it's funny because everybody was committed to actually doing this thing seriously.
Right. Intellectual
like, it was
comedy.
Real, yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Okay, everybody out there who loves Disney, clap your hands. Yay, that's great. Okay, well, here's the thing.
Like there's a full room in here.
Disney in Walt Disney World is opening a new hotel.
No kidding.
It's going to open in 2022, so next year. Time.
Okay.
And there's a little something you should know first. Once you check in, you're not allowed to leave till the weekend is over.
Wait, what?
Ah, the hotel is an immersive 3-day, 2-night experience that involves Star Wars.
Aha!
You're going to operate a spaceship, go to battle, do a bunch of other stuff, and the hotel is anything but a vacation. In fact, you're even given a space communicator that resembles a cell phone for resistance meetings. And similar to the escape room, you have to stay until the experience is complete. You'll be in space, after all. So prepare for a fun and perhaps exhausting 60 hours. The good news is that the hotel has a lounge called the Silver Sea where you can sip on a strong adult beverage, nice frosty beverage from around the world.
And
play a few rounds of sabacc to unwind. Now, while reservations for the hotel have yet to open, preliminary prices are rumored to be around $1,400 per person for the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Well, until then, save up some money and get ready for a journey of a lifetime in a galaxy far, 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 far.
Do you at least get yogurt with it?
You get free yogurt with it? I think so.
Oh, okay.
You get that with everything.
Yogurt the Wise, Yogurt the Magnificent.
Just plain yogurt.
You finally got on. Okay. That's kind of interesting to do because if you want to go to the park and stay at the hotel and you go, okay, well, let's try this one. It's a Star Wars experience. Oh, wait, I can't leave?
I'm sure you can leave.
The
whole idea is that you go in and you're part of the
performance.
Experience. The whole time you're there. So.
Well, I better see Chinchilla the Wookiee Monster. That's all I can say.
Well,
you know,
that would be good.
And Princess Leia in that damn brass bikini.
Teach me how to go.
This sounds like my high school grad night. They made our high school kind of like a carnival, like a prep rally sort of thing. It was weird. And the gig was you are not allowed to leave. They locked you in the school.
Oh, yeah. We've done that.
Guess what I did? I escaped.
There you go.
I hopped over the fence, got in my car, and I said, F this, and I drove home. Because it was so dumb. Why would I want to spend my graduation night on the campus that I suffered at for 4 years? And everyone's looking at me like, gosh, Zach, what, am I wrong here? I wonder, why can't we go to Disneyland or Queen Mary like the other schools did?
Yeah.
Very angry about it.
You went to the wrong school.
You think?
Yeah.
Valencia High School, you suck.
Our high school wasn't allowed to go anywhere but just hold events at the high school.
High school.
We had a reputation. Yeah.
We've done things.
A few years before I got there, apparently the senior
class
party or I think it was the senior party was at a bar and somewhere in Paramount, and of course the liquor was all locked away. That didn't matter. It broke in and drank all the liquor and trashed the place. Yeah. And it was horrible.
That's what I would have loved to have done.
So Paramount High School wasn't allowed to.
Zach's going
to
hate me then.
Go anywhere.
Because I actually, for my grad night, I actually got to go to Disneyland.
No, I don't hate you.
So, but just to let you know, it wasn't a fabulous night though. Because
Disneyland gets boring for me after a while.
The girl that I was dating. It was weird because we were one big group, and the group decided to split in two because some of us wanted to go one area, another one wanted to go to another area.
Right.
Well, the girl I was dating went with the other group, and I said, okay, I guess we'll catch up at some point in time. And so I took off. I went on rides. I got to see Men Without Hats. I got to see Devo. I got to see... some really cool acts that were performing there and everything. And, you know, it's now 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, and we're coming back and we're exhausted and everything. And
that's what I'm afraid of happening if I go to Disneyland again. So, you know, I remember I told my girlfriend she absolutely loves Disneyland, which pretty much everyone's girlfriend does. And she has a 15-year-old son. His name's Aiden. And I took him to Disneyland a couple weeks ago because we had like a free – it was the week they were opening up when they were letting people in to kind of like test everything out. And he was telling me, well, can't wait. The next time we come, we're going to be here open and close. And I'm sorry, beg your pardon?
You got to do open and close.
8 in the morning till midnight? Are you out of your freaking mind?
No, man, because you got to have breakfast with Mickey and Goofy.
Okay, do I get to like take a nap in a room somewhere later?
Yeah, they call that the small world.
What?
That the small world.
They have a first aid. You can go in and say, I feel a little dizzy from the heat and lay down.
Could I really do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might just try that because it worked in high school every single time.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm coming back, you know, with these other group of girls, whatever, that I'm hanging out with from seeing these concerts and going on the rides and everything and so forth. And the girl that I dated, she had the most horrible time because the look on her face was like she wanted to kill me. And I'm like, wait a minute. You chose to go with them. So don't give me that look. Apparently all they did all night long was walk up and down Main Street.
And bicker about doing something.
Exactly.
It's like, her own fault.
Exactly. Yeah. So we broke up.
That night?
No.
That would have been hilarious.
No, right after graduation.
That would like a breakups at Disneyland. Brought to you by California Adventure. So,
but I love this article, though. This one cracked me up. Marconi winner accused of airing satanic music.
What?
Yeah. So there's this well-known college station and that's being accused of attacking the Catholic faith, apparently, and airing satanic music. It's a WSOU in New Jersey. Yeah!
Because where everything good comes out of New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Is a college radio station, Seton Hall University. The format is rock. The group protesting is called Shut Down WSOU. The group held a rally near the station recently and says that its movement is growing. The website for the group has an evidence page with album art and lyrics from some of the artists played at the station, such as...
Probably on here.
Oh, here we go. Drum roll, please.
What'd you say, Zach?
Oh, I we're playing one of them right now. I guarantee it's on that list.
And who are you playing?
Slayer.
Yes, Slayer.
This is it. This is probably it. Sounds about right.
Well, I so far don't hear anything about Satan, though. Just a lot of cussing. But the other band that they complained about was Black Sabbath.
Oh, come on. But I would hold this more dear to the satanic ritual.
I don't even hear anything about Satan in there. So these moronic Catholic people, thanks to my faith, dumbass. So basically, now, WSOU won the Marconi Award back in 2016. It was nominated again in 2019. The station actually has been on the air since 1948. The station has popped up box on its website with the following disclaimer. The programming heard on WSOU does not represent the opinions and beliefs of Seton Hall University or its employees and students. WSOU's music and talk programming is presented as entertainment and is not intended to promote any specific lifestyle, belief, political affiliation, or other personal practice. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, here you go. How's that for artwork?
So, well, they can call whatever they want, you know. I mean, but gee, many crickets, though. But, I mean, to try and take a station down.
That's a bit of a stretch. I mean, there's been less efficient ways to take a station down than besides Satanic
music. The devil's music is what it is. Ever since Elvis Presley swung his hips back and forth, it's the devil's music.
The devil made me do it.
What accent are you guys doing?
I'm doing Flip Wilson.
I don't know who I'm doing. I'm doing some with my own
Bradley. Wow. Is Arnold's cousin.
I don't know what that was. Sorry.
This is something I've been thinking about.
What's that?
Oh, my God.
In my life. As guys.
Oops.
We can fall in love with several different women.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
It's not every time you fall in love, it's exactly the same person.
Very true.
Hi. And
no two girls are alike anyway, so, you know, what the hell?
Unless they're sisters.
Yeah.
But there is something about, you know, the wide range of girls. Some of them are, how can we say this?
Crazy?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, the article says emotionally unstable women. Now, studies.
What's revealed, that?
Yeah, I've never met one of those.
Liar.
Shh. And women prefer men who are less agreeable but pay attention to detail, according to the German survey of 1,000 people. We already know that a person's perception of how compatible they are with their partner makes for a great sex life. But until now, how someone's personality influenced another's sex life has not been widely studied. Lead researcher Julia Velten and her colleagues interviewed each volunteer about their sex lives, personality, and sexual function. For women, this included sexual desire, satisfaction, arousal, orgasm, and for men, it focused on erectile function, desire, satisfaction, orgasm. They found men whose partners had less emotional stability reported better sexual function, while lower agreeableness of a sexual partner was predictive of better sexual function in women. I almost wish I wasn't high.
I understand
what I'm reading. Okay, they also discovered that men who are thorough and dutiful may feel the need to satisfy their partner sexually, which may in turn lead to a better sexual function of their partners. The study published in the Journal of Sex Research and found a man had better sex with partners who had similar traits.
Probably a chick that wrote this.
Probably. Specifically, being easily stimulated, it is, yeah. And I got as close as I could. In men who are easily aroused by erotic fantasies, get your arms down. No.
You maniac.
Visual stimuli. Having a partner who responds in a similar way may facilitate sexual function, the researcher said. You know, there's these ED commercials where they're having a problem with ED. We'll take this every day, and they show this girl there that anybody that would take that every day would never get ED.
Right.
Okay. I have no idea. The volunteers were an average age of 51.
Wow.
And had been in their current relationships for an average of 24 years.
Jeez.
What, 20? Wow.
Average, yeah.
And it doesn't say marriage, it just says relationships.
Relationships, yeah. So, which could be a marriage, though, but yeah.
Well, probably most of them, but still.
And what was the title of this article?
That'd be at the top, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Steve.
Men have better sex with emotionally unstable women.
Interesting.
That's talking about better sex, right? Not a better relationship.
I'm not going to lie, as I'm sitting here listening to this, and of course, you know, I want to know what love is, which is making this even funnier for me. I'm going to have to agree. Shut up. I'm going to have to agree on this whole article. The majority of girls that I've been with that were a little emotionally unstable, they were freaks, and it was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. I mean, there's been
I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way, but I'm just saying the crazy ones do tend to have more fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're less inhibited.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting. Across all couples, relationship duration was not linked to poor sexual function. So... it assumes that a healthy sexual life is possible even in long relationships.
Right.
That it's not an automatic thing, that it just disappears for everybody.
Right.
That's just
It's got to be balanced no matter what.
That's a myth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So, nonetheless, study breaks new ground by uncovering the ways that our partner's personality might have an influence on our own sexual function.
Hmm.
So you hear that, right hand?
You get me, don't you?
Good job. You keep me alive.
That's a good 2.5 men line. Alan, Charlie's brother, looks at his hand. And he goes, "You do get me, don't you?"
I'm not leaving you out, left hand.
Just to be different every now and then.
You're the best backup I ever had.
You're about as useful as my right foot.
Or both.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
But no, it's true. I think, you know, the women that I've dated and have had fun with, and yeah, I mean, the more unstable they were, yeah, I definitely were more fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As we reminisce.
We all reminisce. That's what I was hoping you were going to push.
Yeah. That's why I get paid the big bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know what we need right now?
Bad memory.
Bad memories?
Oh no.
Abort, abort.
Hey, Mr. Wizard. Help me, Mr. Wizard.
What do we need to do right now?
I think people need a little class.
Some culture.
Something we like to call pocket-size cinema.
We haven't done one of these for a while, huh?
No.
We haven't.
Yeah. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Pocket Size Cinema. Today's feature is entitled The Alligator versus Genitals. Yes, The Alligator versus Genitals. We open when a man walks into a bar with a pet alligator by his side.
Who'd have thunk it?
He puts the alligator up on the bar. He turns to the astonished patrons. Let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy. The alligator versus the genitals.
This is like a most extreme challenge. I can tell you're all amazed by my pet alligator here.
Sound like Bill Clinton, dude.
Oh, boy.
Well, sir, you know, we just don't see alligators here that often here in Montana.
Oh, I see. Well, tell you what.
What?
I'll make you a deal.
Okay.
I'll open the alligator's mouth and place my genitals inside.
What could go wrong?
Then the gator will close his mouth for 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
He'll then open his mouth and I'll remove my unit unscathed. In return for witnessing this spectacle, each of you will buy me a drink.
Well, the crowd murmured their approval. The man stood up on a bar, dropped his trousers. Peas and carrots. Dropped his trousers and placed his privates in the alligator's open mouth. The gator closed the mouth as the crowd gasped. After a minute, the man grabbed a beer bottle and wrapped the alligator hard on top of the head. The gator opened its mouth, and the man removed his genitals unscathed, as promised. The crowd cheered, and the first of his free drinks were delivered. The man stood up again and made another offer.
I'll pay anyone $100 who's willing to give it a try.
A hush fell over the crowd.
Hush.
After a while, a hand went up in the back of the bar. A woman timely spoke up.
I'll try, but you have to promise not to hit me on the head with a beer bottle.
That wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Should we do a couple of what's news?
Why not?
What's news?
What's a cat?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What's news?
We haven't done it for a while here. All right. Let's see here. Oh, Zach, can you find me like creepy music? Like music makes you uncomfortable.
Yo, Udon.
While you're waiting for that.
Eton. Well, I can't remember what his name is. Uton. That's it. Uton.
Uton. Uton.
U-T-O-N. Uton.
Uton. Okay. Well, Zach's finding that one. I'll read this one here. A four-year-old inadvertently buys over $2,600 worth of SpongeBob popsicles on Amazon.
Oh, come on, Squidward.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Guess where this happened?
New Jersey.
You're close. Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, right across.
Yep. A four-year-old Brooklyn boy accidentally managed to buy $2,618.85 worth of SpongeBob popsicles. Not for this one. On Amazon. 918 of them, exactly. Noah Bryant is a huge fan of SpongeBob SquarePants and decided to act on that love by purchasing a frozen treat on Amazon. Little did he know, 51 cases of SpongeBob popsicles would make their way to his aunt's house. While it's an abundantly funny mistake, Jennifer, Noah's mom, had to basically flip the bill. Jennifer is a social work student at New York University, and on top of raising her three kids and going to school, paying for her son's popsicles just wasn't doable. Fortunately, though, a fellow student and friend, Katie Schloss, I guess it is.
Schlong?
Yeah, set up a GoFundMe page to help Jennifer. The account managed to get $7,300 in just 3 days, surpassing the original $2,000. Thank you so much for your mind-blowing generosity and support, Jennifer wrote in an undated note on the GoFundMe account. We are so grateful to have made back the money in a mere 24 hours. As a parent to a child living with ASD, Autism Spectrum Disorder, all additional donations will go towards Noah's education and additional supports. We cannot thank you enough. That's pretty cool. But
you know, maybe I missed the beginning of that story, but how did the kid manage to pull off all those steps in order to get
it
that?
It doesn't say,
it
but...
It really should.
But the thing is, though, is like I know with my Amazon account, I mean, I have an Amazon credit card, so anytime we buy it, we just charge it to that card, and it's already locked in there.
Oh.
So if the mom has an account and he's got the access and he just buys it, well, guess what? It's going to be charged to that credit card.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah. So watch your kids.
Something happened. A sheep, a drum, and a snake fell down a cliff.
Okay, that's the setup.
Badoom.
Need that sound effect.
Okay. Now, in Canada, they're all a bunch of quirky guys up there anyway.
A
bunch of A.
That's right, A.
Yeah, everybody's...
And they always say sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And
sorry, A.
Beauty A. So anyway, a member of parliament was apparently in his office, and as he is like to do, he changed his clothes for something, a meeting coming up.
Yeah.
And, his camera was on, and he appeared naked in front of his colleagues.
Oh, no.
He changed out of jogging clothes in his office right in front of his camera.
Oh, jeez.
So the Liberal Member of Parliament, William Amos, and who is also the Parliamentary Secretary to Industry Minister François-Philippe Champagne... was seen completely naked during a virtual parliamentary session.
Oops.
Ooh, baby. Though a screenshot obtained by media outlets showed he was holding something, possibly a phone, that blocked his genitals from view. So,
that's good.
Anyway, but it was visible to other members of Parliament and House of Commons staff, but was not broadcast to the public, luckily.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, you have to be careful. These We're hooked everywhere.
We are.
All the time now.
We definitely are.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the party whip said, it may be necessary to remind the members, especially the male ones, that a tie and jacket are obligatory, but so are a shirt, boxer shorts, or pants,
yeah.
She said in French per CTV.
There you go.
So anyway, fun for everybody.
There you go. All right. Okay, Zach, I now need the weird music. He bought lettuce at the store and found this creature. Alex White thought when he was watching a huge worm withering in plastic wrap lettuce he just bought home from the store from a Sydney supermarket. Until a snake tongue flicked out at him. I kind of completely freaked out, recalls White. It was a venomous, pale-headed snake that authorities say made a 540-mile journey to Sydney, Australia. From a packing plant in the Australian city of Toowoomba. Wrapped in plastic with two heads of lettuce, the refrigerated supermarket supply chain likely lulled the cold-blooded juvenile into a stupor until White bought the lettuce at an Aldi, which we have here in the United States supermarket.
Yes, we do.
On Monday evening and rode his bicycle home with salad and snake in his backpack.
I hear snake is quite tasty.
Well, it's the other white meat.
I've had alligator before. It's pretty good.
White and his partner, Amelia, spotted the snake moving as soon as the lettuce was unpacked on the kitchen table. They also noticed the plastic wrapping was torn and that the snake could escape. So they quickly stuffed the reptile with lettuce into the plastic food storage container, and then they phoned the Wires Rescue Organization, and a snake handler took the snake away right that night. Before the handler arrived, White says Wires had explained to him, if you get bitten, you got to go to the hospital really quickly. Aldi is investigating how a snake could have found its way into the supermarket.
Whew. Jeez.
Yeah.
It's a very sneaky snake. He knew when to hide, you know, when to pop out, stretch, and then back and hide. Well, this is an article after my own heart because there's something in life. One of the things in life that are my favorite things are Legos. I love Legos. They're so cool. Love the way they fit together. They kind of snap, and they have those just perfect.
But when you step on them, damn, it hurts. Yeah.
Well, guess what? Legos are so popular that people are stealing them.
I believe it, especially if they're collector's types, yeah.
Yeah, and this is interesting because the French police have been investigating an international ring of toy thieves with a particular affinity for the colorful interlocking bricks. According to a recent report from The Guardian. Ah, The Guardian.
Excuse me, but do you have a dream?
What?
A dream.
What the room?
A dream?
Okay. Oh, boy, my head is all fluffy. Three suspects were caught taking boxes of Legos from a toy shop near Paris with the goal of selling them in Poland, according to Le Parisien. And it's not just Europe. Lego robberies have happened in the United States as well. Last month, a man in Oregon was arrested for stealing $7,500 worth of Lego toy sets.
Jeez.
There's a lot of money in Legos. Lego sets come out in limited editions, and they soon become collector's items.
Yeah, they do.
There might even be a whole black market for the bricks. Lego specialist Gerben Van Itchkin.
Say that again?
Ow, I don't think I can. I hurt myself. he tells Scott Simon on Weekly Edition, "Well, that's very difficult." Oh, sorry, "Well, that's very difficult to prove that there's a black market. However, there is enormous amount of collectors out there who are missing out on certain sets right now.
Not bad.
And are willing to pay a lot of money for these sets," he says.
"The blue."
Van Edgkin is an auctioneer at an auction website for collectibles. He says the most valuable sought-after sets are those of the original packaging, like everything else. For example, Lego Cafe Corner from 2007 is, it was $150 to buy it. It's now getting up to around $3,000.
Jeez.
Anyway, a lot of money, like $3,500 for an unopened Lego Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Like I said, you get into the Star Wars stuff, the Batman stuff, or Marvel, or any of that, that's after like a TV show. You're talking an awful lot of money.
So I read this cool article about how they decide what they're going to make sets, who they're going to sponsor, what
how they're going to do it. Yeah.
You know, it's different than it used to be. Mm-hmm. So, but it's a whole big deal now when they come out with a specialty because they want to make sure it's going to be a popular one.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, you know, all the Legos that my son and I have that we bought them, I guess we're definitely going to be keeping those damn things around.
One of the worst accidents I ever had was I swallowed a bunch of Legos when I was little.
You were shitting bricks?
Well, actually, my next visit to the toilet really spelled disaster. Wait a minute, that's not right.
Well, in that case, should we play the game?
Yeah, why not? What
okay, let's go.
And that was... What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat?
Whoa, 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 whoa. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the game show that made every tree feel guilty for having a shadow. Quiz me... Quiz you.
Wow, that was enthusiastic. All right, well, we got intern Christopher with us. He's going to be reading the questions. So.
All right. Shall we start with question number one?
Why don't we ever start with question number three?
Sure, why not? Which musical featured the song Sit Down, You're Rockin'?
Steve. Guys and Dolls.
Yes.
I was in that with Gino.
Cool. Question number two. Which movie actor was Easy Reader in Reader, I believe. In
Easy
the
Rider?
TV's No, it's Reader. Oh. I think so. Yeah. There's no I, so.
Is the answer Jack Nicholson or Peter Fonda?
No and no.
Okay. But it's not Easy Rider.
Called Easy Reader.
Yes. Easy Reader in the Which movie actor was Easy Reader in the TV series The Electric Company?
Oh, Sean.
Sean.
Rita Moreno.
No.
Damn. Well, Rita Moreno was in The Electric Company.
It
don't
is
give
a
me that
I'm
look.
Not
don't give me that look, Mr. High and Mighty.
It is a male actor, so we can eliminate
Sean, after has head in his cloud.
Steve? Tony Curtis.
No. Sean?
Zach? Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
No.
Okay, if it's not Rita Moreno, then the only other actor that I'm aware of that was on The Electric Company is Morgan Freeman.
Correct.
Yay.
Question thank you.
Three. Until his death in 1969, Brian Jones was in which pop band?
Sean. The Rolling Stones.
Correctamundo.
Really?
Yeah, he was a bassist.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Question number four.
I think he was a bassist.
UNICEF, I believe, or just it's an acronym, UNICEF, is responsible for
UNICEF.
Which...
UNICEF.
Yep, thank you, Zach. Is responsible for which...
Steve.
Steve?
Children.
Correct.
We've had these questions before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if you remember them then. Question number five.
Oh, great.
What movie was about the USSR invading Afghanistan in 1979?
Zach.
Zach.
Oh, Crimson Tide?
No.
No, I don't know why. Is it Afghanistan?
Yes, Afghanistan.
Christopher, can you please repeat the question?
What movie was about the USSR invading Afghanistan in 1979?
Wait, the USSR?
Movie?
Well, Zach again after everyone else doesn't answer.
Yes, movie, Steve.
Oh, shit.
Steve. Reds.
No. Sean.
Sean.
Tom Hanks, Philip Seymour Hoff, Julia Roberts, I think, is in it too. Charlie Wilson War.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Is that what you were going to guess?
They sold a rocket so they could take down the Russian helicopters.
Right. I've heard of it. No, but I was. I don't know why.
Good movie.
It's in the Hunt for Red October.
Especially the first 5 minutes.
Wow.
Okay.
That's number seven, I guess. All right. Or are we on six? I can't remember.
Is it
six? No, six. Thank you. All right. This one should be easy. Who had a number one hit with Never Gonna Give You Up?
Zach.
Oh.
Rick Astley.
Thank you.
I finally got one.
Yeah. Question number seven. Okay.
That's my ringtone, believe it or not. Really? I swear to God, you should see people look at me when my phone ring is never going to give you up.
You just got Rickrolled. All right.
And everyone's like, what's wrong with that, dude?
Nothing.
What
Nothing.
Notable thing did tough guy
Steve? I'll be back.
No.
Can you finish the question?
Humphrey Bogart do throughout his wedding to Lauren Bacall.
What did he do throughout his wedding?
Yeah, what notable thing did tough guy Humphrey Bogart do throughout his wedding to Lauren Bacall?
What notable thing? What did he do throughout his wedding?
Steve, after everybody else.
Zach, you got an answer?
Turtles.
No.
He did Turtles?
I don't know.
You have a guess before Steve goes, Sean?
Yeah. But notable. He handed out cigars.
Nope. Steve?
He was looking at you, kid.
Say that again?
The quote.
Oh. Well, no, I guess.
Isn't that what you said? What did he say during his...
No, what notable thing did he do throughout his wedding?
I guess I don't know what word you're saying. What
notable thing did he do during his wedding when he was marrying Lauren Bacall? What did
notable
he do?
Thing he right. did.
Yes.
Oh.
That's what I said.
He kept pitching her on the bottom. At least I know I would.
Wow, yeah.
No, he let the waterworks flow, he cried.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he was very much in love with her, so yeah.
Suck it! Right, it ain't so, Bogey.
Question number eight.
Thank God we're almost there.
Where was Elvis Presley's The Wonder of You recorded live?
Zach. Nashville.
No.
Steve. Old Opry House.
No.
Fuck. I know this.
Then say it.
I know.
Steve again.
You got it. You still need to think?
I want the International Hotel.
Close. You got half of it. Steve, you think you can film the second half?
The Savoy Hotel.
No.
Nope. Yeah, I lost
All right, what is it?
All right. The International Hotel in Las Vegas.
All right.
Oh, well. You did your best.
Number nine.
I think you should get it.
All right. Who hosted Family Feud until it was canceled in...
Steve.
Sean.
Done this question.
Steve.
Oh, my God.
That is incorrect.
God is not the answer.
I think it escaped from him, so...
Come on.
Zach next?
It's gone.
I don't remember. I don't know.
He kissed everybody.
Dick Dawson.
Oh, I know. I know who. He kissed everybody?
Yeah. He was,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Joe Biden.
Steve.
No.
Steve.
Dick Dawson.
Richard Dawson.
Thank you, Steve. it was Richard Dawson.
Richard Dick, Dick Dawson, Dick. Same guy.
I don't think he went by Dick. I never.
Okay, question number nine.
Look, Dick. Ten.
That's a great that's another great line in Wayne's World. He's like, listen, you got Dick York, Dick Sargent, Sergeant York. Wow, that's weird.
All right. Who did Randolph Turpin beat to win the world middleweight boxing title in 1951?
No pressure, people.
Say that again.
Oh, wow.
Who did Randolph Turpin beat in the beat to win the world middleweight boxing title in 1951?
Steve. Ingemar Johansson.
No. Anybody got another guess?
Zach. Tony Danza.
No.
Rocky Balboa.
You wish.
Yeah.
And the answer is
Sugar Ray Robinson.
Wow.
Is that the last question?
We made it to the end of the questions, and now for a song for a good time and a relaxing Saturday morning. This is not that song.
You know, I once had a hen who could count her own eggs. Yeah, she was a mathematician.
Oh, good Lord. You know, I'm not even going to press the sound effect because it's just beyond me at this point.
No, but you know what I will do?
What will you do?
I will say, well, thank you for joining us on today's show.
Good segue.
The show's website is yourweeklydose.com. You can find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You want to follow me, Steve, on Facebook? It's Steve Silva. On Twitter, it's SilvaLining69.
And I'm at Zombie Mel Gibson. That's Zombie with a Z, Mel Gibson with an M and a G. Yeah.
And an Ib.
I love the fact you had to think about that for a moment.
All improv.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, it is simply Sean R. Unplugged.
Duh.
Simple as that. And, of course, we also want to thank our affiliates, which is Delmarva Talk Radio. You can hear our past shows Wednesday through Friday, 7 a.m., and also on Lime City Radio. Past shows air there from noon, or start at noon, also Wednesday through Fridays. And, of course, we are live with them every Saturday morning at 1 p.m., and, of course, it's 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. So until then, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We hope we put you to sleep today. And next time, I don't know, we'll do something different, and hopefully we'll wake you up. So until then, take care.
Bye, world. And he's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke, but there's some place that he'd rather be. He says, Bill, I believe this is killing me, as a smile ran away from his face. Well, I'm sure that I could be a movie star. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.